The Anton Savage Show with Kearies.ie on News Talk.
On the 28th of June, the show Uncanny, I Know What I Saw, is coming to the Bord Gáis. It's then going to head down on the 30th to Cork. The host is Danny Robbins, described as supernatural expert and investigator. Danny, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
I'm curious, how do you manage to get a show out of something, an extended and very successful show, where a lot of people would say it's like, you know, Daily Mail headlines, to which the answer is no. We know there isn't a paranormal, therefore why do we talk about it?
How long have you got? I mean, I think the exciting thing about Uncanny is that I think we are caught up in this biggest of all mysteries, really. I feel like this is the mystery that the whole human experience has been based on, really. Every religion ever founded has been based on trying to make sense of what happens to us when we die, what's our place in the universe. And, you know, if you listen to Uncanny, you'll kind of realise that we come at it from both perspectives. We have a team skeptic expert, a team believer expert. You have me kind of torn in the middle. You know, I always describe myself as a skeptic who wants to believe. But we're essentially, you know, listening to people's experiences, very, very strange experiences, ordinary people who've experienced the extraordinary and trying to make sense of it, really.
Well, let me put myself on the side of, as you describe it, team skeptic, by asking, how is it that you can have a skeptic? Because that is to suggest that there is a matter that is sufficiently open for there to be broad debate. I would have thought science has put to bed the questions of the supernatural. We know there ain't ghosts.
Well, I don't think it has, because we're still debating it thousands of years after we first had the first ghost story told, really, back in ancient times. I think, you know, like what you have on our show is just very, very odd descriptions of very, very strange things, really. You have people experiencing things that are often frightening, sometimes moving, you know, always intriguing. And, you know, I don't know, there is something going on here. People are describing these things in very similar terms, you know, having, you know, these experiences over, you know, sometimes we're looking at multiple witnesses over long time periods with things linked to the same location. One of our most famous cases took place in Belfast in a hall of residence there, Allenbrook Hall, where people were staying in one particular room, room 611. And year after year, people reporting seeing apparitions and experiencing potential poltergeist activity. So there is something happening here. When people say to me, do ghosts exist? I always say they do, in as much as people are having these experiences, and we need to try and make sense of what these experiences are.
And are the answers ever complicated enough as to be satisfying? Or do you not go to mass hysteria, joint delusion, head injury, toxicology reports, all of that stuff?
Well, we cover all sorts. I always think it's, you know, if you're a skeptic, it's a how done it. If you're a believer, it's a who done it. You want to know about who the ghost is and explore the history of that place. We wouldn't be talking about these things if they were simple, if they were simply answered. I mean, I think every case we've looked at has been complex, has been, you know, disturbing and raises many, many questions. I think, you know, the one thing is, I mean, you know, clearly you are, I'm picking up slightly skeptic, But I think there's so many people out there thirsty for information on this. You know, there's a real hunger for this subject at the moment. It's really gripped people, I think, in a way that it hasn't done for a long, long time. I think you could draw parallels with post-First World War, post-Second World War, when there was this kind of boom of interest in the paranormal. And there's something about the times we live in now that is absolutely generating a kind of a real resurgence of interest in it.
Is it not the case, though, Danny, that you talk about the 2,000 years of it? The 2,000 years has seen a vast shrinkage in the spectrum of what people believe to be the paranormal, as science has chewed away at the edges and explained more and more and more and more. Are the final last vestiges not just the bits where people are evidently clinging on to delusion?
I think you've asked me the same question about five times now. I don't think so. No, I mean, I think, you know, absolutely, we don't debate, you know, unicorns or pixies or gnomes or elves anymore. But I think, you know, I think ghosts have stubbornly stuck in our consciousness for very definite reasons. I think. I mean, I think if you're a skeptic, you could say that it is, you know, some sort of comfort blanket between us and death. You know, I think death is the most frightening of all things, over and above, you know, anything else, you know, that idea of us just stopping and ceasing to be. But I think if you're a believer, you would absolutely argue that, you know, there is something there, you know, that there is this consistency of accounts and, you know, a kind of
Well, okay.
A mountain of evidence, you could argue. Yeah.
Lay out the straw man for me then. Give me the best illustration that you have of the one that when you whip it out, those who are unbelievers say, mother of divine, I need to rethink everything.
Well, I mean, I think I could choose any one of our cases, really. I mean, I think it's just, you know, that we're dealing with. I think, you know, I'm not here to prove ghosts exist to you. That's not really, you know, kind of what I do. I mean, I always describe myself as a skeptic, you know, a skeptic who would like to believe. I sort of feel like it's an adventure. We're on a journey trying to make sense of something. But I think, you know, the uncanny isn't a show that sets out to try and convince you that ghosts exist. It's a show that explores people's experiences. And I think, you know, you could be the most hardcore of skeptics and still find these stories gripping. You know, I think, you know, trying to make sense of a really weird, truly strange and frightening moment in someone's life is compelling. You know, they're human psychological dramas, I think. So I think, you know, I know that a lot of paranormal shows go out there with their night vision cameras and their mediums and their screaming and sort of try and, you know, sell you that, and that's not what Uncanny is about, really. Uncanny is a bit more kind of complicated and nuanced and hopefully a little bit more clever.
So who do you find then attends? Is it people who want to have a mass group experience where we all agree that our beliefs are accurate, or is it people who want to have confirmation that their skepticism is correct, or do you get an even mix of both?
It's a really even mix of both, I think. It's just, you know, I mean, Uncanny is so popular now. It's one of the top 10 most popular podcasts in the country, you know, and I think it's a really wide spread of people. You know, I think it's just, you know, I would say our audience is fairly divided between believers and skeptics, but there's an even bigger group in the middle of people like myself who are just not sure, really. And I think, you know, they're gripping stories, and it's talking about the kind of fundamental nature of human existence, I think. You know, so you find yourself having these conversations that, you know, encompass kind of the fantastical, but also, you know, kind of nuclear physics, quantum physics, you know, all sorts of, you know, infrasound, you know, they're detective stories, basically. And that, you know, we have always been gripped throughout human existence. We've been gripped by the idea of solving mysteries.
Where does religion fit into all of this, particularly for you personally? Because I know that you were raised atheist by what we would describe as a lapsed Catholic mother. Where did you end up on the religion end of things, and how does it come into play?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think, you know, I belief was absent from my life when I was a kid. And I think I was fascinated by it, you know, as being something that wasn't there and was, you know, had this slightly forbidden quality. We used to go and visit my grandparents. I'd see all these pictures of the Pope and Jesus and saints around and be fascinated. I think, you know, some people would have found God and I found ghosts. I became really fascinated by the idea that there was something more to our existence, but that was the kind of avenue that I went down. I think, you know, that religion and the paranormal are different ends to a sort of similar goal of trying to make sense of our lives and our place in the universe, but particularly about what happens to us when we die. And I think for me, I have a kind of fear of death, I think, that makes me acutely kind of really want to kind of try and make sense of this.
I suspect you're not alone on that one, Danny. Do you therefore categorise yourself as atheist or agnostic, Catholic, spiritual?
Oh my God. I don't know if I'd categorise myself at all. I mean, I guess I'd fall into the agnostic camp, really. I mean, but about all things, really. I absolutely love the idea that this could all be real, that you know, ghosts really do exist. And I guess the closest I come to telling you that I'm a believer is to say that I can't explain the stories that I'm told. You know, I find myself lying awake at night, you know, scratching my head, wondering about what happened, you know, and that troubles me. It excites me, but it sort of frightens me at the same time, you know, and
let me put it to you a different way. Mystery. When you were on a transatlantic flight and you hit bad turbulence, do you pray?
Do I pray? Well, that is a good question. I don't know. I think maybe all of us have that threshold. I think all of us have a moment where superstition, beliefs, whatever we want to call them, kicks in, I think. And, you know, even the most hardened skeptic will sort of, you know, if you told them a certain room of the house was haunted, they might not want to stay in it. So I don't know. Yeah, it's a very good question. I think that I'm very open to the idea that many things could be real. I don't know. I'm
I know. Come on, Danny. There is no fence on which you will not sit. You can't spend your time contemplating these issues and remain entirely right down the center sweet spot and not form a view.
I hadn't expected such a Paxman-esque grilling. I have found myself on a journey. I'll say that. I think if you listen to the first programs I made, the kind of my early podcast series, I think you hear a more skeptic Danny, and I think I've definitely gone on a journey that leads me closer to that belief. I haven't yet kind of fully signed up and drunk the Kool-Aid, but I definitely, you know, look, I think the stories that people tell me are incredibly compelling, and I wouldn't be telling them if I felt I could answer them and explain them away. And you know, the carrot dangling of the idea of, you know, ghosts actually existing is one that I kind of leap towards in an excited way.
Setting aside whether or not they exist, does the belief and the stories and the mythology surrounding them and the long legacy of it, does it serve a purpose? Is there value to it?
Well, I think, look, clearly we need ghost stories in our lives. There's a reason why we've held on to them. I mean, either ghosts exist or there's something about these that kind of scratches an itch for society. I think, you know, it's how we interpret these experiences. We're having a range of very strange, anomalous experiences, and they could be generated by spirits of the dead, they could be generated by our minds, they could be generated by our environments. You know, we are processing them in this way. And I think there's fascinating debates to be had about whether ghosts are the spirits of the dead or energy from within us, you know, and you know, there's many different ways we could interpret this, but I don't know. I mean, I think the one thing we can't doubt is the reality of these experiences. I think, you know, people are definitely experiencing very, very strange things that change their lives, you know.
One you must have thought about and have a theory about, why didn't Houdini come back?
There were many seances to try and bring him back, weren't there? Wasn't there a word? I think there was a word that he'd agreed with his wife that he was going to say.
That was a secret, sort of a talisman between them.
A secret code word that he would say to her if he came back. You know, very interesting. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I was very struck, actually. I was doing this tour around, you know, the UK and Ireland. I've been very struck by the fact that people don't always get the ghosts that they want. You know, that people tell me stories about seeing what they believe are ghosts and saying, I wish I hadn't seen that one. I wish I'd seen my father or my mother or, you know, my loved one. And, you know, I think there's something intensely powerful about those stories where people do get contact with a loved one, you know. But
On the topic of Irish people and the ghosts they get, have you covered Daniel Day-Lewis and his Hamlet experience?
Oh, I do know about this, actually. Yeah, yeah. I haven't talked about this or thought about it for a long time. But yeah, he never went back on stage after that, did he? He felt that he'd seen the ghost of his own father. Is that right?
That's exactly it. He was playing Hamlet and the ghost of his the ghost of Hamlet's father was due to appear to him. And he says, I'm not sure if he says it as clearly as it was the ghost, but he felt something, experienced something, and that was the last stage work he ever did.
Incredibly powerful. In a sense, I shiver down your spine just hearing that one, yeah.
If you have the chance to come back, Danny, will you?
Definitely. Well, look, I mean, that's what I'm in this for. I mean, I love the idea that you could come back. I think, you know, I had a horrible moment in my early 20s where I thought I was dying. I was totally convinced I was having a heart attack, lying on the floor of my bathroom as a young man and seeing angels coming down. It was horrible, terrifying. And it turned out it wasn't a heart attack, it was a panic attack. And, you know, it was something not life-threatening, but genuinely terrifying. It gave me a fear of death for a long time afterwards where I felt I was about to die every second. And that has kind of had this residual thing for me, I think, that I just love the idea of death not being the end. I hate that idea that we just cease to be. So I think, you know, I have a lot invested in this, that I would love that to be the case, basically. And I would say the counter to that, I guess, is that one vision of ghosts is quite a sad one, of people being locked out of human existence, kind of looking in, you know, that the dead could be like those people trapped looking through the window at the party going on inside. You know, we don't really know, like, you know, if this is possible and if the dead do come back to life, you know, that could take a very joyous form of, you know, and longing, you know, lengthening the contact you have with your loved ones, but also it could be incredibly lonely and remote and isolating.
Well, I will do you a deal, Danny. If it does come to pass, and hopefully it'll be several decades down the track, that I'm still here and you're not, I'll invite you back on and you can prove me wrong in the most catastrophically embarrassing way.
I look forward to it.
Danny, thank you very much. That is Danny Robbins. And if you want to see Danny in Uncanny, I Know What I Saw, he's going to be in Belfast on the 27th and Borgosh on the 28th. And then he's in Cork on the 30th of June.
The Anton Savage Show with Kiri's.ie on News Talk.